Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Well, the largest steroid scandal in Major League Baseball has history deeply rooted, of course, in the city of Miami. The former company Biogenesis, run by Anthony Bosch, provided performance-enhancing substances for elite players like Manny Ramirez and Alex Rodriguez. The story has been brought back into the spotlight by director Billy Corbin in his new film, Screwball. Here's a clip from the trailer. The first voice you hear, by the way, is Mr. Bosch.
There's a saying, never meet your heroes because they'll break your heart. From the moment I remember, I wanted to be a baseball player. It was the American dream. I got kicked off the team for smoking weed. It was a disaster. My plan was go into medicine.
The Belize School of Medical and Performing Arts.
Oh, Screwball, now streaming on Netflix. Joining me now in studio, Billy Corbin. Always great to have you, man.
The school that he was referring to, the baseball team that he was attempting to play for, is Columbus.
Right.
That's what he's talking about. Point that out.
You know what? There's something interesting, too. I mean, I want to get into that because I didn't realize that, but it seemed like so many players or so many people in this movie kind of are connected to this school. But when did the idea, because this goes back more than a decade, but when did the idea to make this film start to begin with you?
It started in November of 2013 when I got a call from Alex Rodriguez, from his publicist, to be precise, who said that Alex was in the midst of the arbitration with Major League Baseball in New York at their headquarters. Alex had been given the longest suspension in the history of the game, and he was the only one of the players of the 13 or so involved in the Biogenesis steroid scandal who was appealing his suspension. So this was kind of dragging the story out, and Alex was kind of engaging at the time in a, we'll call it a PR offensive against Major League Baseball, and meeting with us, with Alfred Spellman, my producing partner, and I was part of that offensive, that he was proactively shopping his story around, perhaps a book. It was described to us as a meeting to explore the possibility of a tell-all documentary. And we thought we were going to meet in his office. We were told he had an office in Coral Gables, and we were going to meet, you know, kind of quietly on the down low, because this was, I thought, a sensitive issue. And so instead they said, meet us at noon at Hillstones on the corner of Miracle Mile and Ponce de Leon, which has to be the most prominent intersection in the city of Coral Gables. Certainly the power lunch spot, if there is a power lunch spot. And it was slammed when we walked in, and we realized very quickly that, oh, we're on display here. We're very specifically kind of being carted out so that people will see us with Alex and go, hey, who's that? And if I'm going to be recognized anywhere, it's going to be, you know, a mile away from the University of Miami, you know, thanks to the ESPN 30 for 30, the U.
Right. So this, it seemed like it was just a chance for him to try to find a way to connect himself to you again. Maybe he was just shopping his story.
Yeah. And they leaked it to the New York Post, right, that meeting.
There's so many different characters in this, but obviously one of the main ones, really the main one, is Anthony Bosch. I mean, this is the guy who ran Biogenesis. You know, he is a fascinating character. And I wondered, though, at times, is he the villain of the story because you kind of made him seem a little sympathetic?
Well, I don't know that I made him seem like anything. I mean, we don't use narrators in our documentaries. And so everybody kind of comes off the way they actually come off in real life.
So he sells himself that way.
Yeah, he's sort of a charming rascal, I guess. I don't know how else to describe it in English anyway. I mean, he's a very compelling character. Someone described him once to me as the most Miami creature they'd ever seen. And I think that's probably not untrue either. And I think also to say that, you know, talk about villains. I mean, who's a villain, really? I mean, we're all villains, especially in this town where the vast majority of us exist in a gray market economy.
But he's not a doctor. He starts Biogenesis.
He is not a doctor.
He's not a doctor. He starts Biogenesis basically because he's trying to sell some kind of anti-aging formula. And then all of a sudden, though, it starts to grow. He starts to get all these clients. And now he starts reaching into sports. Right?
Yeah.
But at what point did he start pretending? Because he dressed like a doctor. Didn't he also, like people would describe, like they'd walk in, he's got the white coat with the stethoscope?
Yeah, the lab coat said Dr. Tony Bosch, you know, stitched into the breast pocket area. And yeah, and he was definitely attempting to pass himself off as a doctor. And listen, come on, let's get real. Every time there's a story like fake doctor discovered in Hialeah. I always say, well, wait, that's not news. News would be real doctor found in Hialeah. You know, I mean, come on, this is sort of a tradition we have here. And listen, it's not uncommon in an immigrant community that when people are actually doctors from their home country, that that's good enough for the market. Good enough for people here.
At one point in the film, he's actually trying to describe the difference between an unlicensed doctor and a fake doctor. Yes. Okay, I mean, in that
he's extremely sensitive about being called a fake doctor.
And in that moment, what did you say to him? How did you challenge him?
What did I? Oh, no, I just let him talk.
You just let him talk.
I let him talk. And then I did follow up with his response to Jerome Hill, who is a former Baltimore police officer and a former detective or investigator for the Department of Health in the state of Florida. And he had his own opinion on that, which I cannot say on terrestrial radio.
Okay. Well, thank you for holding back on that. Another important character in this is Porter Fisher.
Yes.
Basically the guy who brought him down, who brought down Biogenesis. But who was he?
Porter Fisher was, yeah, I guess he's the whistleblower in the Biogenesis case. He is a Miami man as well, born and raised in Miami, attended Columbus, actually at an overlapping time period with Tony Bosch, and before Alex Rodriguez had later attended as only a freshman, I think. He had his freshman year at Columbus. And Porter is an interesting character. He was a guy who was kind of looking for a place to fit in and found that at the 24-hour tanning salon, Boca Tanning, in South Miami, across from University of Miami, right by, you know, Sunset Place. And it's gone now, but it was open 24 hours, and he would hang out there. He described himself as Norm at the end of the bar in Cheers. He was there at all hours, I don't know, hanging out, chatting up co-eds, I don't really know, but that became his world. And then when Tony Bosch came in and started his anti-aging clinic inside the tanning salon originally, pre-Biogenesis, Porter went in, got a protocol from Dr. Tony, as he was called. I'm doing air quotes for all the good it does on radio. But Dr. Tony, Dr. T, he was called, and that's how he started. Tony was providing anti-aging services, human growth hormone, testosterone for just lay people looking to lose weight, build muscle, reverse the effects of aging. And that's when word of mouth started to spread and the athletes started to come in.
And eventually, so, you know, Porter Fisher eventually, just over a small amount of money, you know, Tony doesn't pay him. Porter gets mad. And of course, at that point, I mean, he starts to work at exposing.
Yeah, Porter was an enthusiastic fan, a proselytizer of Dr. Tony Bosch and his anti-aging.
Until he was owed money.
He was so excited about it that he wanted to invest in the business. And at some point, there's a lot of dispute whether it was a loan, whether it was an investment, but did give Tony about $4,000. And had some kind of an agreement for repayment that Tony was not able to keep up with, in no small part because of a $5,000 a month cocaine habit, alimony, child support, multiple rent payments.
It was amazing what this guy was spending monthly.
Yeah.
Again, talking with director Billy Corbin of Raconteur Films, his latest film, Screwball, now available on Netflix, again, tells the story of the Miami-based company Biogenesis. It provided steroids and HGH to elite athletes like Alex Rodriguez. You mentioned the school, and this is an important part of the story because the high school brings a lot of these characters all together. They all went there. It's a very well-known school for baseball.
Yeah, Columbus. And as I said, Tony and Porter, their time at the school overlapped. We actually found pictures of them in the same yearbook in different classes, of course. And later, before transferring to Westminster Christian, A-Rod spent his freshman year there. And I think that's the most sort of bizarre and revealing thing about it. We talk about this sort of one degree of separation that everybody is in Miami, or the Jimmy Buffett song, Everybody's Got a Cousin in Miami. But the fact that the highest paid baseball player in history, over $400 million. His career effectively ended over a $4,000 debt between a cocaine-addicted fake doctor and his fake tan-addicted steroid patient is kind of an only in Miami story.
Something interesting about this film, and I've been dying to ask you, is the fact that with most documentaries, you'll probably have, in depending on how they do it, everybody's got a different style, reenactment. And you used children as the actors in the reenactment. Where did that idea come from? It was, I mean, at times, it was hilarious. And then in other times I thought, wait a minute. I mean, this is so weird because they're reenacting these scenes that, I mean, at one point, you know, characters are talking to each other. It's like, hey, where's my money? Where's my money? And I'm looking at a child acting like he's a grown up, you know, tough guy. Where did the idea come from?
I got the idea from my friend Jack, Jack Daniels. We were up late one night together, and I was looking for a solution. What do they say? Write drunk, edit sober. You know, and I was looking for a solution to a problem that we had that you said documentarians often have. I didn't have sports footage here. You know, we do a documentary like the U, for example, and you have athletes or coaches or the press. They're talking about sports games. You talk to the sports people, and you use the sports footage. Intercut with them, right? So there was no sports footage here. This isn't about baseball. I think they only cite two or three baseball games in the entire documentary. What do we do for the other hour and 40 minutes to support the stories being told? We did a lot of fact-checking, I'll tell you that. But then we needed to find some way to depict this, to have B-roll, to have something on screen. It's a visual medium. It's not a podcast. So we needed to do something. And I realized, oh, crap, we're going to have to do, you know, reenactments. And the reason why I say, oh, crap, is as a documentarian, I don't really like reenactments. First of all, they're very tough to do. They can be very expensive, very complicated, and they're not real. You know, you're a documentarian, you're transmitting facts, you want everything to be authentic, you want to use actual news archive footage, real pictures, but we only had so much of that. How do you depict these events that occurred in locker rooms, at Live Nightclub, in sports bars, and how do you do that?
Which, you know? By the way, yes, you had a scene where, you know, Anthony Bosch is talking about losing a vial of A-Rod's blood that he had taken there. And here I see these kids in a nightclub, you know, which was just an interesting way of looking at it. I think I read somewhere, I don't know if it was Rolling Stone, that the other aspect of this is the fact that, well, everybody was just acting like children anyway. So it was perfect.
Yeah, we needed a solution that kind of jived with the story, which was that they were all acting so childlike, and it just seemed to resonate. And also the fact that the ultimate victims in this in some way or another were the kids. It was the high school kids that Tony was treating, whose parents and coaches were bringing them to him for an advantage, you know, in the June draft. Of course, the fact that when you discover that you know, baseball is like everything else in America, it's all about lying and cheating and stealing to get ahead. It's really the kids learning that brutal lesson that I think make them the ultimate victims. So, and I think it all kind of resonated both in the comedy and the absurdity of the story and also in the overall message.
How do you feel about the fact that, I mean, you know, Alex Rodriguez is a baseball announcer, but he still spends a lot of time in South Florida. And look, the University of Miami baseball field is named after him. After all this, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I never knock another man's hustle. I mean, good for him. He happens to be incredibly good at the job that he has at Major League Baseball. This is not a gig that he got because he's famous. He's really good in his broadcasting gig, and props to him for that. Listen, Miami is not exactly a town that is selective about its heroes. I mean, you know, we name streets after drug smugglers and to this day, we have, you know, we're honoring all kinds of shady people, you know, so I feel like he very much has his place in the canon of American history and sports heroes.
I don't have a lot of time, but I did want to ask you about this because you point out in the film that baseball is big here. But really, it's kind of more on the smaller level, a high school level. I mean, we've got a lot of Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, Cubans. It's a big sport. And yet, who likes the Marlins? Who goes to the Marlins games? Do we really care about baseball?
We don't care about the Marlins is the short answer.
Right,
we're all paying for the Marlins, mind you, subsidizing that $3.2 billion, that's with a B, ballpark, a boondoggle. But no, we don't actually care about the Marlins. And there are kids who, particularly immigrant kids, who it's a very important game for. You know, the opportunity to be able to play, to get a guaranteed salary is an extraordinary, I mean, that's the American dream, you know. But no, I think as a community, we don't by and large care. We have it's a very diverse town. We have a lot of different interests and hobbies, but I think that's the interesting thing about it, is that there's something for everybody here in Miami, or in the case of the Marlins, something for nobody.
Billy Corbin, director of Raconteur Films, his latest film Screwball, now available on Netflix. Billy, always a pleasure, man. Thank you. Really fun film, it really is. All right, that's our program for this Thursday, August 15th. Coming up next week on Sundial, an update on the crisis in Venezuela, and we'll hear from a Venezuelan ballet student living in Miami trying to get temporary protected status. to stay here. Plus, thousands of low-income families in Miami-Dade County can't afford something fundamental to every child's beginnings: diapers. We're going to learn how a local nonprofit is increasing access through a major financial drive. And finally, a reminder, Sundial hits the road. We're heading to the Florida Keys for a special remote August 22nd. You will hear from marine life experts, politicians, and advocates about the challenges facing the coral reefs, sea turtles, and life underwater. You can still sign up, by the way, for free online if you want to see us live in Key West. That's next week. Just go to WLRN.org. Again, find us on social media, Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. I'm Luis Hernandez. Have a wonderful Friday. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.